Welcome to the eGovernance Academy podcast to discover the future of governance. Tune in for the Digital Government podcast every Wednesday.
Hello, everyone, from Federico Plantera. I'm your usual host of the Digital Government podcast, journalist, sociologist, and researcher. And today we're talking about the next big turn in digital transformation from mobile to artificial intelligence and machine learning. And we're doing so with Margus Simson. Hello, Margus.
Hello.
So Margus is connecting from Czech Republic, where he works as the chief digital officer at Komerční banka, which is part of the Société Générale group. But Margus has a lot of long-standing experience with all the major banks in Estonia and essentially has helped for about 20 years develop digital services, especially for their contact with the users. Right, Margus? Is it a good enough introduction?
Yeah, I think that I have always been in this kind of like the intersection of the user, technology and business, how to make them all like work well together. That's true.
Perfect. And so let's get on right away with the topic. So the next big turn in digital transformation, we're mentioning two things here. We mentioned mobile, and then we mentioned artificial intelligence and machine learning in a bit of an interchangeable way, let's say, these last two formulas, let's say. So the first question would be already, at what stage are we now? Because one thing that I was thinking of already in preparation to this episode was, like, are we even at the mobile stage yet, at the mobile era?
Well, we are definitely, some parts of the society are already definitely in the mobile era. If you are looking into anything you do in the social side, mobile is definitely there. It doesn't matter if it's like any of the social media, is it any kind of messenger apps and everything else, we are already in mobile. A big part of the services, or this kind of mass services, like doing payments in the bank, or whatever things you want to do with your telco, or basically checking what is your energy consumption. Those things are already in the mobile as well. So the simple part of the services are in the mobile. If I'm looking at the more complicated part, are you really feeling comfortable of buying mortgage over the mobile? Probably not yet. And the majority of the people do not have that kind of trust yet. And quite often also the service providers do not feel comfortable providing such things over the mobile. You know, the honest truth, a lot of companies say that they are not willing to take the risk of doing high value transactions over the mobile. They need to do it either in person or on the computer screen, just to be sure that, you know, the screen size sometimes matters. You somehow have the better grasp and control over the things that you actually do. So we are there partially, but there's still quite a long journey still to go like fully mainstream in the mobile territory.
And in that sense, we also, you just mentioned companies, no? And you also mentioned services that are generally provided by private sector actors. So at this point, the question would also be just to identify a bit like the ballpark of this conversation is, when we talk about it, the next big turn from mobile to, for example, then switching to artificial intelligence and machine learning, are we talking about services that are provided by private actors or also by governments? So are we also talking about public services?
The public services always tend to be a little bit like on the end of the stream in a way that, and it's interesting to see actually across the whole Europe at least, that people never expect the same quality of the service from the public sector that they actually already are so used to demand from the private sector. So in the public sector, and there's actually a good reason for that. Public sector seems like a big thing, and it seems like, you know, the big part of the human lives. But if it was actually conducted in Estonia, the average person in Estonia is using the public services approximately 1.5 times per year, which is basically like tax declaration plus something else as well. At the same time, if you go into the bank, average customer is logging into the mobile bank like 7 times a week, or let's say 5 to 7 times a week. I don't know the latest Estonian numbers, but this is the, like, it's a magnitude of difference. And in that sense, as it is relatively unique thing that you do in the government side, then the customers are just not so heavily demanding the government services to be in the mobile. But if you give them the chance, if you give them the user a chance of either pushing a button on your mobile phone and getting your government thing done versus going somewhere, spending like half an hour waiting in the line and then, you know, dealing with something, they definitely would use mobile. It's just that as it is not that crucial in their lives, they are willing to sacrifice certain amount of their time to deal with this service. But in general, they would like to the government services to be exactly the same as they would expect from any of the technology companies out there.
Very interesting, actually, to address for a second this point of the proportion and the magnitude, essentially, of the difference in usage that we do on a daily basis between like services that are provided by the public sector or by private companies. Because effectively, even now that you were just mentioning that, I was thinking, which sector we're talking about. But at the same time, yes, I just log into my home banking essentially every day, at least once, just to check and take a look. But of course, I don't have to do that, not even like once a month, let's say, in, ASD.ee, for example, the citizen portal for the public services in Estonia.
There are certain roles in the society who have to deal with government a lot. You know, but you mostly do not do it as a private individual, but you do it as this is usually the part of your job routine. For example, there are, if you are
like
going...
accountants.
Accountants, if you are a leasing company and you have to register a car, like, you know, register like literally tens of cars every single day in this, in the general car registry that is in the country, you know, in those cases, you need to use those tools. But in those cases, you also do not do those services usually over the mobile. You're sitting behind the computer screen and you need this kind of like the screen real estate, the bigger sizable things in order to make all the necessary clicks here and there. But that's a little bit different use case. For the standard normal user, the mobile and the government services is not that crucial. And that's why it is less developed. I mean, obviously, government is always a little bit behind in the adoption of the technologies as well, so that this might be also the cause.
But Markus, since if we are then, apparently we are actually at the dawn, let's say, of a new age of like service provision that in any case is driven or at least enabled by artificial intelligence and machine learning in the private sector, like what examples could we think of services that we are using very often, for example, and that are already working with, that are heavily infused, let's say, with artificial intelligence and machine learning? What are some examples that we can already mention that we use and we don't even think about, this is actually powered by AI and ML?
Artificial intelligence has to be rather thought in a way that there isn't like a one service that is like fully artificial intelligence. It's rather like small snippets, small components of that service are basically powered by machine learning, artificial intelligence as such. If I take an example from the technology companies, every time you basically order an Uber, it already goes through some parts where the machine learning has been a crucial part of the component in order to figure out, you know, what car to send to who and then, you know, which way basically to charge, for example, you as a customer. Nope, there's like no like this kind of like straightforward algorithm of the search pricing. It is already powered somewhat by the artificial intelligence. The same happens, for example, when you search some kind of results in Google, when you see the Facebook newsfeed, this is already very much powered by the elements of the artificial intelligence. If I bring an example from the banking world, I think that a lot of banks already are experimenting whenever they do the risk scoring. Basically, you ask for a loan, they do certain scoring, how probable you are to pay this loan back. This kind of risk scoring is quite often already, infected by the artificial intelligence. Certain things coming from the human analysts and certain things coming from the artificial analyst in a way. And I think that one will be the major dominant use of the artificial intelligence for years to come. Nobody really trusts the artificial intelligence to make like the full decision, but it will happen in the good collaboration with like human and like computer as coming together. Maybe a very good example where the artificial intelligence has been extensively used is healthcare. I know that they are investing a lot into that. Quite often, artificial intelligence is more capable of diagnosing certain diseases more correctly than humans do. The biggest problem there is that as artificial intelligence is quite often reaching to certain conclusions, but we don't understand how does it come to that conclusion. Then if you are like applying the medical diagnosis and basically you understand that it's the right result, but you just do not trust it well enough because you would like to understand the reasoning. How did it come to that conclusion? Artificial intelligence can go wrong. I mean, there's a lot of bias example that, you know, they are mostly developed by white male developers, meaning that, you know, that's where the bias is starting to come in. Everything that you teach to the artificial intelligence is not like learning like randomly. It already still learns based on the content that you are giving to it.
Yeah. On the food, like on the data, which is the food. So like what you're feeding the algorithm in that sense. I mean, actually a very notable example that happened that caused the political and institutional consequences this year, and that we can actually even like remember here in Europe, was, for example, the case of the in the Netherlands of the family benefits that were given, that there was like a disparity in treatment, for example, of immigrant families, and that caused like problems for the former Minister of Finance and the former Prime Minister, and they went to elections and everything, because there, in the provision of certain services, artificial intelligence and machine learning are already deployed, might we know it or not, essentially. But at this point, from the perspective of both private and public sector actors, why is it worth it, let's say, to skip, in a way, maybe, this mobile phone stage? And can it be skipped? Because the mobile, in any case, is a device, no? So, like, while machine learning and artificial intelligence, when we talk about them, we're talking rather about the workings, let's say, of how then the outcome of the service provision is produced. So what I'm thinking is, why are we going to remove the mobile from the picture in that sense?
Well, actually, I do not believe that mobile will be removed from the picture.
Okay.
Mobile essentially is just a screen. Yeah, you just have the screens of different sizes. You have the mobile size, you have the like the tablet size, you have the computer size, you have all kinds of different sizes. And it's mostly the question of if you're looking at the service, then what is the like the size of the screen that you should have in order to use that service properly? For example, if you want like an investment advice that can be heavily machine learning, you know, provided as well. But you really feel that you would like to see like a bigger picture of your pension plan or your investment portfolio or anything else. You need like bigger size of the screen. And there's a bunch of services where you say that, for example, the tax declaration, if you make it like really simple so that it's only like a few push of the buttons in the end, that one can also be suitable for the mobile screen. Payment is a good example. If you make a payment, very well suitable for the mobile screen. You just don't need more screen space to make it happen. So artificial intelligence is rather like, as it is, like behind the scenes actor. This is the thing that makes this service better, more intelligent, more capable of giving you a person, more personalized advice. As it is the case, then it is still, you need to represent the results of the conclusion, of the advisory, of the medical diagnosis. You need to provide those kind of conclusions to the user. So that, and then you still need a screen to like show it. Maybe user has to do like way less pushes of the buttons. Maybe they have to enter way less data, but they still have to interact somehow with this machine that is providing conclusions. So in that sense, I would say that the government, especially, they definitely can't skip mobile. Mobile is just a screen that they need to properly develop for the correct use cases, but the artificial intelligence is clearly helping them to make a better decision or the better proposal or better like service provided to the user.
To jump right into the into this potential, let's say, future landscape of services that are mostly enabled by artificial intelligence and machine learning, then the other question, it seems that we're getting towards a situation where the least possible amount of clicks or like interactions will be required by the user to activate something, no? To make something happen, to activate an action. My question to you would be, will we get to a point then where essentially one or no clicks will be required for a service to activate? And the follow-up question to that, which I think is connected, is that desirable in the sense, do we wish for, I don't know, like using services in like this landscape where essentially no action whatsoever is required from our side for a service to activate in a way?
All very, very relevant questions. Maybe I start from the beginning, and this is the general idea. What does this use of artificial intelligence and machine learning really like improve in the overall customer service, either customer service, sales activities for the private companies or anything else? And from my perspective, the biggest opportunity given is that machine learning is enabling the companies and the government to go significantly more personal with the user. Generally, you can, like a human mind, if they have like, you know, 1 million customers like in Estonia, or 10 million like in Czech Republic, or 60 million like in Italy, your human mind can like split the customers into certain groups. But you never go into the level of the specific user, because your mind is just not capable of taking into account all the nuances of the users. And artificial intelligence and machine learning, they are enabling to study that specific user, meaning that you can provide a service, what you could call a segment of one. Did you really focus, do something that is really like spot on for that user? So that's the kind of like the capability what you get when you are going into the territory together with a computer.
Like a batch of one, let's say, if we were to use some like manufacturing metaphor in that sense. Like,
exactly. You can produce something that is like really only for that user, the best for that user. So if I'm bringing back to that one, then that's like the benefit that you are getting out of it. And it also enables, instead of asking in the any kind of government form, instead of asking a lot of stupid questions that, you know, are not relevant for that user, that are not like necessary at all, because, you know, certain elements do not apply for that specific user, etc. You can like skip a lot of things. You can really make this service process for that user really highly personalized, that takes into account their nuances and their approaches. And that, in essence, also enables to go into the territory where you don't need much from the user, because you already know it, you can analyze it, and you can like really conclude something from it. So that's the like the way how you can really make the whole process so much easier for the user. If it's good, we have been actually, I brought an example of the payment, that, you know, the payment could like just happen automatically, that, you know, my child would have the money on their accounts even without my participation, if it's like good or bad thing. And I have
Let's repeat that example for a second. So what could ideally happen in that moment?
Well, ideally, what could happen if I take a payment as an example? Today, I as a user have to execute every single payment. I have to fill it in, or it can be already pre-filled, but I'm the one who is saying, yes, I want to transfer this 20 euros to my child's account. In case of the artificial intelligence, you could decide at the right moment, you know, the child's account balance is too low. You as a parent would prefer not to have the situation for a child to run out of the money, meaning that the right amount at the right time is transferred from the father's account to the children's account. If that one is the case, like automatically that action is being done. It's a very nice example, you know, to your question. Is it like desirable situation where money is exiting your account without you knowing? And this is where I would go for this kind of logic. The payment is being done automatically without your participation, but both you and the child is being informed that this payment was done. You could say that, you know, child can now game the system, I mean, every time the account balance seems to go too low, you know, just another fresh batch of money is coming in. But if every single time this notification is being sent, and you can also, artificial intelligence can decide that, you know, this seems like an abuse of money, basically meaning that, you know, after the second top up, it's not going to add any more money, and the parent will be notified that, you know, your children's spending habits are probably something you should talk about at home. But that's the kind of like the logic what you can build in. So from my perspective, this kind of that moment that you are being informed that you know what happens, that is important for the user. You don't have to push every single button yourself, but you should be informed if something happens. You should feel that you have the control. Whichever way the control happens. Today, the service providers think that the control is happening through the active push of the button, that, you know, you have the form, you fill it in, you push the button. This is the moment when you say, I wanted to do that.
We could say a form, we could say, I don't know, just like a pop-up that says, do you want to confirm this payment? Like if I say, yes, I'm confirming this payment, I'm also giving my permission for this payment to happen. No? So it seems that the dynamic that we're describing is a bit permissionless in a way.
Somewhat, yes. But, you know, I take another example. You have direct debits, for example, to pay for the electricity and for the mobile
internet phone, or something. Yeah.
And, you know, you have those kind of, you have once given a permission that you trust all kind of payments that go to that company. But right now it's very linear. It's very, you know, you have set certain rules. Unless it exceeds certain limit, you know, then the payment can be done. If this does not exceed that limit, the payment will not be done. A good example, if your regular payment to the mobile phone provider is 50 euros, and now the invoice is 50.01, right now the bank is basically pushing it back because it's exceeding the limit. But, you know, from the sensible, like common sense perspective, you would say, of course, you should do the payment. And this is the part what artificial intelligence can basically enable, that, you know, does it feel okay? Does it feel normal? Or should I inform the user about something else happening? Sometimes the suspicious payment might not be 50 euros. Maybe it's like the second payment in this month to the mobile service provider in the form of 10 euros. And that one is actually a suspicious thing that you shouldn't have. So in that, I would still say that I would like divide it into three territories. Things that you are completely okay with and you don't need any permission, any information, it can just happen in the background. If your mortgage is being taken into account from your account, no bank is ever asking a permission. They just like take the money, transfer it to their other account. You trust the bank pretty much. The second element, the situations where you more or less trust. You want things to be more automated, but you want to regain certain sense of control by being informed about what happens, when happens, why happens. And then there's a third block, and they are the situations where you want to give an active permission. You want to have the active control over the situation. And this is the kind of thing what actually changes user interfaces whenever you are talking about the government services or anything else. It changes quite a bit. And we shouldn't only think about it's either like 1 or 0, or let's say 100% or 0%, but that can be also the territories of 50% of control, 80% of control, 10% of control. The interface has to become more flexible in the like the time of the artificial intelligence, because it just provides so many more opportunities of making things more intelligent and less table-like or formula-like for you.
First of all, perfect food for thought and to wrap up the episode. But second, also very interesting, like point of reflection, considering that maybe a lot of people, when they think of like allowing artificial intelligence or machine learning to take care of certain stages of the full stack, let's say life cycle in a way of the service provision, then a lot of people, I would assume that they think that AI or ML might make the workings behind the process more stiff or rigid, while instead it seems to me that AI or machine learning could actually allow to smooth certain rigidity that instead at the moment it's very, I don't know, bureaucratic in a way, to make more flexible indeed. and to ease our life even more. Marcus, I think we got to wrap it up here because we're approaching the half an hour, I think. So is there any concluding remark, let's say, that you would say about this wish for the for the AI ML age?
Maybe the main conclusion is actually that I rather like think about the AI, or let's say I just imagine it as a friend, or this kind of like the second person next to me, so that it's just like artificial person, it's artificial intelligence, like not the human intelligence in this sense, but this artificial intelligence should help me to make my life smoother, taking over those moments of the service or this kind of my life that I don't want to deal with, or that could be automated, or that can be somehow like logically applied, some kind of rules. And at the same time, in those moments where like special attention is needed and I should be really, really warned about something potentially bad happening, that otherwise in the world of linear rules or those kind of like the bureaucracy thing might slip through the fingers, but you know, it can point it out, you know, by the way, do you know that your mortgage rate is going to increase like that when the interest rates in the world are rising? These kind of examples the AI could point out. So I can see it rather as this kind of like the friend looking constantly over my shoulder, in a good sense, not in a bad sense, but you know, friend looking over my shoulder and making sure that I do really the best things intended for me. Obviously, it can go completely the other way wrong as well, but that's...
I mean, as for almost anything, any technology, like there is still, I mean, the use cases for technology are still not, I don't know, invented by the technology itself. There's still humans, like understanding where to use it and how, etc. But Marcus, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
And to all our listeners, tune into the next episode.
This podcast is brought to you by eGovernance Academy. Tune in on next Wednesday.